was going on, as I was looking for many translations to bring this out, I fell in love with all the translations. So I'll just read. Have patience. Praise the Lord. One says, God's Spirit has given us life, and so we should follow the Spirit. Another one says, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Another says, if we are living now by the Holy Spirit, let us follow the Holy Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Yet another says, if the Holy Spirit is living in us, let us be led by him in all things. Amen. Another says, we get our new life from the Spirit, so we should follow the Spirit. Another says, if we live by our spiritual nature, then our lives need to conform to our spiritual nature. Amen. Yet another says, if we live by the Holy Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. If the Holy Spirit we have, if by the Holy Spirit, that's another one, we have our life in Christ, let us go forward, walking in line, our conduct controlled by the Spirit. Amen. I think that's what we read. Then another one says, if we live by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit. Follow the Spirit. The Spirit has given us life. He must also control our lives. Amen. Okay. I missed one. Praise the Lord. That's okay. So we look at John 3:6. John 3:6 says, what is born of from the flesh is flesh. Of the physical is physical. And what is born of the Spirit is spirit. So he says that since we are begotten by the Spirit, we have the nature of the Spirit. We are permeated by the character of the Spirit. And we are also animated by the Spirit. Amen. That is what it should be. If you're born of the Spirit, then the character of the Spirit should be able to permeate your life. Amen. We are born again. We are born of the Spirit. Therefore, the life we have in Christ is owing completely to the work of God's Spirit. And we have no ground for boasting at all. Do we? Everything came from the Spirit. Everything is from the Spirit. Praise the Lord. What ground do you have for boasting? Since it began by the Spirit, then all our consequent life ought to be carried out by the Spirit. Praise the Lord. We are to live every day of our lives. We are to live from rising of the sun to going down of the sun. As we rise from the bed to going to bed, moment by moment, by the enabling power of the Holy Spirit. That's who we are. Praise the Lord. So we should walk accordingly. Amen. So the presence of the Holy Spirit is one of the greatest gifts that God has given to mankind. And somebody will be asking, what is the Holy Spirit? You know, somebody might be asking that. Everybody is not at the same level. So for the benefit of whoever is asking, those who are here who are not yet born again, or who have not had the word Holy Spirit, I say for the benefit of them, the Holy Spirit is God. He is a third personality in the Godhead. Praise the Lord. And the fact that he's God is seen in many passages in the Bible. I'm just going to take one because of time. Remember the story of Ananias. I'm going to read Acts 5:3-4. Then Peter said, Ananias, why have you let Satan fill your heart? You lied to the Holy Spirit and you kept some of the money for yourself. The property was yours to sell or not sell as you wished. And after selling it, the money was always also yours to give away. How could you do a thing like this? You weren't lying to us, but to God. So in this verse, you can see Ananias confronted by Peter. Peter said, you didn't lie to men. You lied to God. In other words, one place, he lied to the Holy Spirit. And the next time he said, you didn't lie to man, you lied to God. So the Spirit of God is also God. Praise the Lord. He's omnipresent, everywhere present. Praise the Lord. We have a passage for that, but I'm not going to take time to go into that. If you need to know more about the Holy Spirit, who he is, he's a he, not an it, then please come to Bible studies, come to Sunday school, and you will learn more. Praise the Lord. He's omniscient. He's the all-knowing God. He says, where can I go from your presence? David was saying, if I go down into the deep, you are there. If I go up there, you are there. He's all everywhere present. So this is an attribute of God. So the Holy Spirit is God, the third person of the Trinity. And as God, the Holy Spirit can truly function, he can function as a comforter, praise the Lord, that we'll be talking about all through this morning. Praise the Lord. So we're going to look at, so this message is in two sections. This session, we're going to focus on the person of the Holy Spirit. And then as the Lord leads us, we'll do the second section. Praise the Lord. So the Spirit has many roles and functions in our lives. And see, God has provided us with the fullness of power. You, child of God, you have the fullness of power. God is so loving. We're singing about the amazing love of God. He's an awesome God. He has not left you just on your own. He has provided us with the fullness of power. But how much, to what extent are you experiencing this power in your life? To the extent that you get into the Word of God and study, is that very extent that you'll enjoy and experience this fullness of power in your life. Praise the Lord. If you're one of us, some of us are claimed just a little part of what God has provided for us, made possible for you, it's only because you don't understand what God has done. Praise the Lord. It's only because you've not gotten into the Word of God to study for yourself. But as you get to study the Word of God, as you get to fellowship every day with the Word of God, you will find out exactly how much power the Holy Spirit has and how much he wants to do in your life. Praise the Lord. So why should we be talking about the Word of God when we're talking about the Holy Spirit? Well, I said before, the Holy Spirit is God. And then the Bible tells us in John 6:63, Jesus was saying, and the Spirit gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. Praise the Lord. The Word of God is also life. Praise the Lord. The Word of God is spirit. When you look at Ephesians 6:17, it says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. When you go to war, you take your own sword. The Holy Spirit is also, the Word of God is also the sword of the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. Through which he does his work. Everything that God does, he does through the Spirit of God. Through the Spirit. Like the CEO. Praise the Lord. He is the one through which every operation of God, God has it. He does it through the power of the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. He accomplishes everything, even in creation, by the Spirit through his word. So there is need for us to study and to continue to study and understand the word of God if we want the Holy Spirit to do his work in our hearts. How many of you will want to see the power of the Holy Spirit? You cannot be somebody that has gone to farm. You did not go there with all your tools. You didn't go there with the equipment. How are you going to farm? Each of those equipments have a special function, the cutlass, the hoe, all of them. And God has equipped us with everything we need, all the power to do what? To navigate this life, this Christian life. You cannot do it on your own. You know, most of us don't put emphasis on the Holy Spirit. We don't even bother about it. But the Holy Spirit is all and all. That's the only way you can succeed in your Christian life. Amen? So let us look at the roles of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit reveals Christ to us. The first thing he does in your life, even as an unbeliever, he reveals Christ to us. John 6:44 says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, giving him the desire to come to me, and I will raise him up from the dead on the last day. He draws you. You know, I remember as an unbeliever, my kid brother, I'm the eldest in the family, but my younger brother is like our daddy in the Lord. Praise the Lord. He lives in London with a big ministry. But he was pursuing me, you know, sister, how dare you talk to me like that? That's me. But as time went by, after some years, many years, so you should not lose patience when you're following an unbeliever. You want them to come to the living knowledge of the truth. You want them to know Jesus. You want them to come to Jesus to receive salvation. Don't give up. It takes time for some. God knows how long. Mine took like 7 years. They were following me, praying for me. Praise the Lord. So one of those days I went, I said, he draws you. It's like practically, literally dragging you to himself. I went to church and I will come back. Not just, I will go and I'll come back and I'm telling my husband, I feel empty. Why do I feel empty these days? Like there was a void in me. And I know most of you had that experience. There was a void, but I didn't know what was happening to me. I will go to church and I'll come back empty. And I'm like, why am I coming? My husband would say, but you have the message. What do you mean by coming? You feel empty. But that was how I felt. I didn't know what was happening in me. Praise the Lord. Until I started reading the books that my kid brother gave me. I was reading T.L. Osborne's book. Suddenly, I knew something happened. And when it happens to you, you know, like you know that something happened. I saw me with those tears and heavy hearts. Just surrendering to the Lord. Nobody was there. I went. Your hearts and taking complete possession of them, of your hearts. You know, Jesus was telling them he was going to leave, but they had another idea about Jesus. Their own motive was a different motive from his motive. They wanted a political Messiah. I don't know, but that's what they wanted. They didn't know that this is how, you know, that was how he was going to go. So their hearts were heavy. He said, but I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper, the comforter, the advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him, the Holy Spirit, to you, to be in close fellowship with you. Now, he says, and he, when he comes, he will convict the world about guilt of sin and the need of a savior and about righteousness and about judgment. If that didn't happen in your heart, you wouldn't be here today. That is what happens right before, when, as an unbeliever, he convicts you of sin and brings you to the saving knowledge of the truth, and you receive Jesus Christ. That's why you're here today. Amen? Now, the Spirit now comes in and he indwells us. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is the action which takes place is the action by which God takes up permanent residence in us believers. The action by which he comes in and he lives in you and he lives there permanently. Praise the Lord. You know, in the olden days, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit will come and empower them for service, and then he will leave. He wouldn't stay necessarily. He didn't remain there with them. Praise the Lord. But Jesus began to reveal to his disciples the new role that the Spirit of Truth will play in their lives. That's a new role. What it is doing now in our lives. Many of us don't even know the place of the Holy Spirit. And we're living this life as if we're fallen, as if we're bereaved, as if we are comfortless. But Jesus said, he says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter. See, he said another. In other words, he was their comforter when he was with them. So it's like, don't worry. I will give you another me. Praise the Lord. Another comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby, that he may remain with you. He may remain with you, the Spirit of Truth. This is the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, welcome, take to heart, because it does not see him or know and recognize him. But you know and recognize him, for he lives with you constantly and will be in you. There are two different things. My son lives with me. He's not in me. My husband lives with me. He's not in me. I was reading, I'm like, okay, there are two different things. Not just living in you, not just living with you, but also will be with you, will be in you. Praise the Lord. So when we come up here, I begin to say, Holy Spirit, you're welcome. I welcome you, Holy Spirit, into my life. It doesn't make sense. He's not left to come back again. He's there. Praise the Lord. His abode is there. His habitation is in me. It's in you. Praise the Lord. I will not leave you as orphans, comfortless, desolate, bereaved, fallen, helpless. I will come back to you. Jesus made all these promises. And if there's any promise about the Holy Spirit that you're not seeing manifest in your life, I'm challenging you, child of God, you have to wake up from today. As you leave here, I want you to go, wow, so this is what it is, the Holy Spirit. So I have such power. If there's any of these promises that you're not, it's all fulfilled. If they're not manifesting in your life, it's about time. Rise up and begin to do what? Meditate on them and begin to claim those promises. Say, I thank you, Lord, that you're with me. You've not left me. I'm not comfortless. I'm not this one. I'm not that. Just, you know, praise the Lord. So I begin to look at what he said. He said, I'll send you another comforter. So I want to tell you, today he's there for your consolation, to comfort you. If there's any of us that needs comfort, he's there. All we need to do is to reach out. If you're passing through any situation today, I want you to reach out. The Holy Spirit is there to comfort you. Praise the Lord. And once you reach out, you will fall into his embrace. He's always ready. What are you passing through that is beyond the power of the Holy Spirit? He will give you comfort. He will comfort you. He will embrace you. Amen. Whatever it is you're passing through, do you need guidance? Whether it is a personal problem, psychological problem, whatever it is, look, we have a counselor. You have him to guide you. You have a helper in the person of the Holy Spirit. You know, women, this should you'll be happy about this. I was reading about this helper. Wherever the word helper came up in the Bible, I saw a man that was saying, okay, I want to read it. And I said, I want to read it too. So we found about 19 places where the word helper came up. Two of those times were ascribed to Eve. The other two were unknown. And the rest was God, the helper. So I began to ask myself, God, our helper, why do women feel like they are put down when they are called the helpers of their spouse? You're not downtrodden. It's not a put-down word. I was reading, it says, this man says, it is a revelation of expertise offered in love. It shows your prowess as a wife. It shows your skillfulness as a wife, your proficiency, your competence as a wife. Just as Christ is our helper, the church, his wife, you are the helper to your husband. You are the helper, a person of skillfulness, of proficiency, of competence, and expertise offered in love. Amen. Amen. The Holy Spirit is our helper. I don't know what you're passing through. I want you to know this. Whatever it is, you have a helper. He's more than enough. He's all sufficient. The greater one that is in you. Nothing, nothing is beyond him. He's in control. Praise the Lord. He is your helper. Concerning that spouse, he's your helper. Concerning that child, he's your helper. The boss at work, he's your helper. Concerning your parents that are thick-headed, he's your helper. Concerning whatever that challenges you, remember when you leave here today, Holy Spirit, you're my helper. I thank you, Lord. I need help. Help me by your Spirit. I know you're my helper. And he is there, always a standby, ready to walk. As soon as you open your hands, he falls into it. He opens his hand, just fall into it, because he will open his hand and he will embrace you. Say, here I am. I'm your helper. Praise the Lord. The intercessor who intervenes on your behalf, especially by prayer, he pleads your cause steadily before God. He's your advocate. He's your advocate. He's your strengthener, your comforter, a standby. The Holy Spirit. The bottom line is this: that God has not prepared you, made you to live this life, Christian life, on your own. He has prepared everything to make this life enjoyable for you, to give you a very good GPS so you can navigate without any error. And it's on you, will not even make any mistake. Praise the Lord. So you will enjoy your life as a Christian. I want you to know that he does not want you to live independently of him. He wants to be in your marriage, in the life of your family, in all your relationships, in whatever you're doing. He wants to be there counseling you. He wants to be there comforting you, helping you. And going forward, you must not live your life apart from the Holy Spirit. Amen? You must not live your life apart from the Holy Spirit. Amen? You must live in the power of the Holy Spirit. I was asking God, did you say power or by? Did you say in the power or by the power? I was sleepy when I wrote that thing. Whichever it is all about the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit, you must live in the power, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So he dwells in every one of us. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? So all the verses I read now, they still talk about the Father, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, resides on the inside of you, of me. Praise the Lord. In fact, as you read the scriptures, you find out that, again, it's not just him. The Trinity is involved in there. You carry the Trinity in you. Look at Colossians 1:27. He says, for God wanted them to know that the riches and the glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too. And this is the secret. Christ lives in you. This gives you assurance of sharing his glory. Assurance of sharing his glory. What is it? Christ lives in you. So we're now seeing the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, God the Father. And we don't have three gods, please. We only have three personalities in this Godhead. Now we're seeing the first personality in us. We're seeing the second one, Jesus, in us. And we're yet to see another one. You are indwelt, 1 John 4:15. You are also indwelt spiritually by God the Father. So you see why I said the Trinity is involved? God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit living in one person, and we feel like we have no strength. We feel like we are defeated. We feel fallen. We feel helpless. It shouldn't be like that, because the personalities, the three personalities there, they live in you. Praise the Lord. They are there. They don't want you to walk, navigate this life alone. Don't feel like an orphan when you have your mommy and your daddy alive. Praise the Lord. They are alive and kicking. So why would you feel like an orphan? It can't work. So whether you're here today, as long as you're born again, it doesn't matter where you are in the faith. If you're a born-again Christian, he dwells in you. Praise the Lord. So you have this power, dynamite power in you. You no longer need to rely on your own power. That is why he's there living in you. Praise the Lord. The next one, he teaches you. John 14:26. I don't have the time up there. John 14:26. It says, but the comforter, the counselor, the helper, the intercessor, the advocate, strengthener, whom the Father will send in my name. He's coming in my name, in my place, to represent me and act on my behalf. He will teach you all things. You know, sometimes you're waiting for a VIP and somebody comes in their name. You still give them all the respect, right? You still, give them, I call them everything that, if the original person would have come. He still has all the power, right? He says, he's coming in my name. The Father sent them in my name. He will teach you all things. You know, English teachers, all things means all things, isn't it? I don't even know where to start. He will teach you all things. He will teach you how to be a good man, a good child of God, a good man, a good woman, a godly man, a godly woman. He will teach you how to be a godly parent, how to be a godly child of God, how to be a good cook for your husband, how to love your wife. He will teach you everything. He says he will teach you all things, whatever you need. He is there to teach you. He is there to do what? Don't forget, whenever, whatever you're passing through, whatever you need, you feel like you don't know, that you need to know. Don't say, this one is flimsy something. This is not important. How can I? No, he said he will teach you all things. And God knows what all things means before he put it there. So nothing is too small or too big or out of place for the Holy Spirit to teach you. All you need to do is to holler. And he answers. He will teach you all things. Praise the Lord. So it's good news for our daughters who and our mothers who don't know how to be good housewives, good mothers, good fathers, good husbands, good whatever, good boss at work. He will teach you all things. Amen. He will cause you to recall. He will remind you and bring to your remembrance everything I have told you. Praise the Lord. It says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you and bequeath to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Stop allowing yourself to be agitated, disturbed, and do not permit yourself to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. Praise the Lord. You see, just as he teaches you everything, and look at what follows. Immediately, I will put you into remembrance. I will put you into remembrance. I will put you into remembrance. Stop allowing yourself. Don't let your heart be troubled. Because some of us, we don't have peace. It's our son, our daughter, our parents, our something, one thing or the other. And the peace of God just eludes you. And then we forget that the Holy Spirit is there saying, no, I am here. I'm well able to take care of this situation. Whether it is your job, you're a married man, and you're the head of the home, and you need to fend for your family, and you lose this job, he said, do not be agitated. You're looking unto God for healing. He says, do not be agitated. Do not be disturbed about this boss. Do not be disturbed about this child. Do not be disturbed about your spouse. Do not be disturbed about anything. Do not permit yourself to be fearful. You permit yourself nothing. If you don't permit yourself, you know, he said, do not permit yourself. So when fear comes, do not permit yourself. Whatever the situation is, whatever the crisis, whatever you're passing through here right now, I want to tell you, do not be agitated. I want to tell you today, do not be disturbed about that child. Teach a child the way he should go. When he grows old, he will not depart from it. Trust God, stand, say, God, I've done my own. This is my son, over to you. I've done my own. He's grown old. He will never depart from the path. You promise me, and you stand on that promise. Do not permit yourself to be fearful about tomorrow, about the future. I will still get to that one. Do not permit yourself to be intimidated by any situation, any circumstance. It's not easy, but the more we fellowship with the word of God, the more we fellowship, the more we press in and read the word and fellowship, we may not be where we ought to be, but we've moved on. Praise the Lord. We have done what? Say hello to that. Say amen to that. I see somebody. Yes. You may not be where you want to be in your faith. You can see things that you don't want to see, and you say, I'm trusting God. You may not be where you want to be in what you want to see in your life. But you know what? You're still trusting God. You're pressing forward, like the pastor was saying today. God was speaking through him. You're pressing forward. I'm not looking behind. I'm just pressing forward. Because you're no longer where you were. You're going somewhere. You're going somewhere. You have a destination, and you will get there in Jesus' name. Don't be cowardly. Don't be unsettled. Praise the Lord. His peace, he says, has left his peace with you. Enjoy that peace. You are in control. It says, do not permit yourself, which means that you're in control, right? You are in control of your emotions. You have the self-control. It's one of the fruit of the Spirit. We'll get there next week. Praise the Lord. So that emotion, you have the Spirit. You have self-control. It's one of those elements of the fruit of the Spirit. So that is why he says, do not permit yourself. Praise the Lord. He teaches you how to relate well with any member of your family. He teaches you. Sometimes we're looking at somebody. We want to see something else in our child. We want to see something else in our husband, in our wife, in our boss. And you're saying, God, I keep telling them they don't listen. And you're complaining. No. We were taught this in couples forum. Come to couples forum. Young adults, come to couples forum. We're taught not to do what? Do not be their enforcer. Don't be in the way of the Holy Spirit. Give him way. We saw it in one of the dramas, the first day of our family month. Take it to God and give him way to enforce it on that child. He will come back to the church. He will come back to the church. He will come back to love the Lord. You said, God, I thank you. My son is a lover of Christ. He will be that. But don't enforce it. Don't enforce it. Let the Holy Spirit be your enforcer in whatever situation, any challenge you're passing through. Praise the Lord. He will teach us all things. He will put you into remembrance. And you know, the thing is that when the Holy Spirit teaches you, he teaches you the word of God too. So you cannot understand it. Sometimes you don't understand. Who else is better to teach? He's the author. Praise the Lord. So when you come to him, trusting him, he shines that light upon the pages of those scriptures, upon the scriptures, the pages of the scripture. He shines the light. He illuminates your mind, praise the Lord. And you begin to understand, you get it in your head. Then you understand it with your heart. And then you begin to process it. You begin to put it into practice. But you have to take it to him and ask him for illumination. Praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit gives you supernatural instruction, illumination. He teaches you all things and brings them into your remembrance. But the key point in this remembrance one is that if you don't study the word of God, what is he going to bring back to your remembrance? Nothing, isn't it? He can't bring back what you don't have in there, what you stored in your spirit. If something is there, that is when he brings it back to you, what he has told you, what you read, the word of God. That is why you need to bombard yourself, fill yourself up daily with the word of God. Amen. So that he will always bring it back to you, put you into remembrance, remind you, wow, remember, when you do this, it's not right. You go to witness. You don't know what to say. We put the word in your mouth. Praise the Lord. Tell you what to say. He has to remind you. He will remind you again. Scriptures to encourage people, to encourage yourself. Praise the Lord. You've seen those scriptures, you've forgotten them, and you're passing, you're beating yourself down. You're agitated. We bring this scripture back to your heart. Praise the Lord. Do not be, I'm your helper. I'm your helper. Praise the Lord. So no amount of knowledge can ever replace the Holy Spirit's teaching in your life. We need to be taught daily by the Holy Spirit to understand the word of God. You cannot depend today on what the Holy Spirit taught you yesterday. No, he will continue to teach you. Teach you, teach you. Every time you come in contact with the word of God, he will teach you. Don't say, because he taught me that thing years ago. No, he will still teach you again and again. Praise the Lord. He illumines your mind so you can grasp those passages. He reveals the future. John 16:13. But when he, the Spirit of truth, the truth-giving spirit comes, he will guide you into all truths. The whole full truth. For he will not speak his own message or on his own authority, but will tell whatever he hears from the Father. He will give the message that has been given to him. He will announce and declare to you the things that are to come, that will happen in the future. Praise the Lord. He says, he will honor and glorify me because he will take off, receive, draw upon what is mine, and will reveal, declare, disclose, transmit it to you. Praise the Lord. It says, everything that the Father has is mine. That is why I said, what I meant when I said that he, the Spirit, will take the things that are mine and will reveal and disclose, declare and transmit to you. He will guide you into all truth. He's very intimate. He's very intimate with everything. He's very, very intimate. He will announce it to you. Means he will show it to you. He will announce it to you. The Spirit announces things to come. He will announce your future. He tells you. He knows what is going to happen in your job the next couple of years. He knows maybe if you're still here, like my son, if he's still, after my son, shortly after CC left and Johnson & Johnson here, they weeded that place. And all of them were, he was in the same group with this group of people. But he had an urge in his spirit. He had that thing in his spirit. It's like he was being, I don't know how to put it. The Spirit was, you know, encouraging him to leave. So he left to Atlanta. Shortly after that, they weeded that office. Praise the Lord. But he's still there today. So it's like he tells you about what will happen in future. He reveals it to you. He knows what to do concerning, he knows about your finances, what will be tomorrow, and begins to advise you about your child and begins to encourage you. He knows everything there is to know about you. Praise the Lord. And that is why we should pray in tongues most of the time. Pray in the Spirit. Let him show you which way to follow. If you're led by the Spirit of God, you are a child of God, the Son of God. Praise the Lord. Let him lead you. He knows the way. The Lord knows the way to the wilderness. All you have to do is to follow. The Lord knows the way to the wilderness. All you have to do is to follow. That is all you have to do. Just to follow. Allow, yield your, just, you know what? He wants to lead you. He wants to guide you. He wants to guide you. He knows the way. Praise the Lord. We sing, he will lead us. He will lead us. Omega will lead us. He say, miracle God. How does he lead you? How does he lead you? By his Spirit. That's how he leads you. Each time you sing that song, are you yielding? Are you allowing him to lead you, guiding you? Praise the Lord. He reveals to your mind the whole counsel of God. That's what he does. He's your ultimate guide. Amen. And he will lead us. And then we have to do what? Learn how to yield and follow, obey him as he leads us. Praise the Lord. And he will show you things to come. Amen. We must not live without the power of the Holy Spirit. He made us to be dependent on him, to rely on him, to obey him when he leads us and guides us. He does not want us to navigate this life by ourselves. Praise the Lord. Baptism of the Holy Spirit. Notice, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, sometimes you begin to ask, what is this baptism of the Holy Spirit? I just know what it means. This concept of baptism in the Holy Spirit is the work of the Spirit upon a human being, a believer, to endow that person with the power necessary to carry out his mission as a Christian. Praise the Lord. It happened in Pentecost. It is tied to Pentecost. Acts 1:5 says, John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And exactly on Pentecost, they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. And so why do we need to be baptized by the Holy Spirit? Huh? Everything Jesus did, he did by the power of the Holy. He was anointed by the Holy, with Holy Spirit. He was anointed. Acts 10:38 says, and you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. When you are anointed, God is with you. Praise the Lord. Jesus didn't go. He didn't move. until he was anointed, until he received this baptism of the Holy Spirit. Remember, he went to Jordan to be baptized. And there we saw the three personalities in the Godhead. They were present there. We hear the voice. This is my beloved son. We saw the dove perching on his shoulder and the physical, Jesus standing there physically. And then after he got baptized, he was now, and you see the other baptism, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he now moved and started his ministry. That's why he says, then Jesus went. He never went before that baptism. It is for a purpose, praise the Lord. We also saw, he said, do not leave Jerusalem until you are baptized with the Holy Spirit. He was telling his disciples, right? In other words, you cannot do this work without him. Do not leave. If you leave, you will fail. If you tend to do this work by yourself, you will fail. You will go out to minister. If you're not baptized, if you don't have the power, how can you reach somebody? But when you depend on the power of the Holy Spirit, he will guide you. He will direct you. The power is there. So when you speak to people, they will do what? They will listen. Their hearts will be tender. And they will do what? They will receive the Holy, they will receive Jesus Christ into their lives. Amen. If Jesus needed it, depended on it, he said, then he went. And the disciples depended on it. He said, don't go until you receive it. Everybody in the upper room, they were baptized. How much more us? Praise the Lord. We need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We need to receive that power. Amen. And when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you also receive a gift from God, the gift of speaking in tongues, a powerful gift that every single one of us should desire. It's an evidence. I didn't say the only evidence. So it's an evidence of doing what? The tongues is an evidence of receiving the Holy Spirit baptism. Praise the Lord. If you've not yet, you're not yet baptized in the Holy Spirit and you're born again, I want to plead with you before you leave. See Pastor Chuk Sezanya. See Brother Stephen Rona. They will direct you and they will tell you what to do. You need this power if you're going to be an effective witness for the Lord. And remember, you don't witness just with your mouth. You also witness with your life. I believe that it also impacts our life. So we can also witness with our lives. Praise the Lord. So don't leave until you see them. Let's look at some of the benefits of praying in tongues. I said it's very important. One, when you pray in the Spirit, let me first read it. Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. I've talked about receiving the power, what the power does for you. And a proof of that, you can see Peter. You know, these fishermen, they were uneducated, they were untrained according to their standards in those days. But after they received, they didn't have, you know, after they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you saw what happened. Insight came, boldness came, and they were able to impact the whole world. Praise the Lord. You know, when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, prior to that, Mrs. Ezanya, pray. I'll be like my brother-in-law. They said, Austin Ezanya, please pray for us. I lost my voice. Prior to that, he didn't lose his voice. He was talking, he was drinking. So I was like that. When they asked me to pray, oh God, I'll feel like I need to run in somewhere. I couldn't even pray in the staff room. Much more in the church when we're asked to come up to do something. But quickly, after I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I joined our Christian fellowship in the school. And they will ask me, our daddy in the Lord said, you know, your life challenges me. Coming from US, I've had so much, you know. And then the full gospelers, my husband's group, they will have this, their convention. You see, thousands of people, and I'll be invited to give my salvation testimony. And I'm standing there, not seeing anybody. Praise the Lord. Who could have done that? This person that couldn't even talk in the staff room, couldn't even pray. Who could have done that? But God, Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. My pastor didn't believe it back home. We'll have a crusade in that of Wankwa, if you live in Oka, and we'll have everything. He'll call me, mommy, come and do the praise worship. Me, I lost all shame. I'll be there blowing the thing. But once I leave the stage, I'm a different person again. I just don't understand it. Praise the Lord. I don't. It still happens till now. Praise the Lord. I remember going to somewhere with Auntie Meg, and she wants me to walk into a hall that was filled with people. And I said, like, no, you got to be kidding me. She thought I was kidding. Oh, yeah, but there's a look, he told me that when you come down, you're different. I can see him smiling. So when I was telling her, I said, I'm not going. She thought I was kidding. I'm going to go through the back door. She said, the back door is closed. I said, so they expect us to walk from this front to the end. The hall was big. I said, I'm not doing that. So she went. She thought I was kidding. I went to the car. So I was calling my husband to come pick me up in her car. She came. She said, Mommy, so you mean this thing? I said, yes, I do. And that is me. Praise the Lord. But when I come there in the presence of people, like I'm standing here, I don't see nobody again. Praise the Lord. I go into the bus, I'm ministering in that luxurious bus, where I'm going to Onitsha, wherever I'm going, I'm wiring there. I lost all shame. The boldness came. Praise the Lord. The boldness. And I'm sure most of you have experienced this too. Praise the Lord. So when you speak in tongues, the Spirit supplies the words. All I have to do is to open my mouth. So when you come in there, we're praying for you. We say, open your mouth. He's not going to force himself to open your mouth for you. Just open. He supplies the word. Just let him speak. And then you begin to, whatever comes, you begin to speak. Praise the Lord. Just because he gives you utterance, open your mouth and then he gives you the words. Praise the Lord. That's what he does when you're praying in the spirit. He gives you the words. You don't have to worry about not knowing how to speak English, not knowing how to pray in Igbo. Just open your mouth when you're praying in the spirit. He gives you the words. Amen. And then again, you pray directly to God when you're praying in the spirit. And then you're praying directly to God and strengthens your spirit. That is what it does for you. Your spirit is strengthened and you're praying directly to God. The mind will clear, give way. Your spirit is connecting, praying directly to God. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 14:2-4. For if you have the ability to speak in tongues, you'll be talking only to God. Since people wouldn't be able to understand you, you'll be speaking by the power of the spirit, but it will be all mystery. A person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally, but one who speaks a word of prophecy strengthens the entire church. Praise the Lord. So endeavor, if you've not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, please look for us. Come in here and your life will change. Amen. It builds your faith. Jude 1:20. It builds your faith. I'm not going to read that. You see, when you pray in the Spirit intercedes for you. Let's look at Romans 8:26-27. He says, and the Holy Spirit helps you in your weaknesses, in our weaknesses. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for. But the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. Amen. So sometimes it happens to me, I'm too weak. Many of you know that you come back from work. And we're in fasting period. You need to pray. You cannot pray. Or you're not feeling fine. You need to pray. You're too weak to pray. Whatever it is that makes you too weak to pray, what happens? When you begin to pray in the Spirit of God, even though you don't know, and sometimes you're asked to pray for somebody, I don't know what to pray for them. But what, you know what? When you open your mouth and begin to pray in the Spirit, he prays the direct mind of God concerning that situation. Praise the Lord. The Spirit of God prays through you. And he prays the mind of God. He prays for you with groanings that cannot be expressed. Those groanings cannot be expressed in words, but he's praying it through you with those groanings. Praise the Lord. He knows what the Spirit, God knows what the Spirit is saying at that particular time. What is he saying? He's pleading and pleading for you. He's pleading for you concerning that situation in harmony with God's own will. You cannot miss it when you pray in the Holy Spirit. If I pray with my understanding, I'll pray my own will, isn't it? I'll be tempted to pray what I want. But when I'm praying in the Spirit, I cannot miss it. I cannot pray amiss. The Spirit of God will take over. Praise the Lord. And praise the mind of God, his will, concerning that situation. So whatever it is, the weakness is. You know, Paul went through a lot, Paul and his followers. They found themselves in prison. They were afflicted. They were flogged with many canes. A lot of things happened to them. With lashes, imprisonment, dangers, everything that Paul experienced. But in it all, Paul didn't give in. He was buffeted by innumerable trials. He had good reason to be disheartened, but he wasn't. Praise the Lord. So I challenge you today. Maybe you feel that way. Maybe you're passing through troubles and you feel hopeless. Maybe you have some challenges. You feel that, you know, everything is gone. You've lost everything. No. whatever it is, I'm challenging you. Despite what you're passing through, those adversity, Paul continued to trust God. Pray in the spirit concerning that situation. Pray and continue to pray in the spirit. You may not even know how to pray about that situation. Keep praying in the spirit. It's good that I don't even know how to pray about it, because now I'm not praying in the spirit. It's good that I'm weak, even I'm strong, because I'll pray the wrong thing, maybe. It's good to, you know, let the Holy Spirit do his thing. Praise the Lord. And as you're passing this through this situation, as the Holy Spirit prays through you, he begins to comfort you. He translates your feelings more accurately than you could ever articulate it yourself. He comforts you. He encourages you. And I'm encouraging you, please, whatever situation you're passing through and you're tired of this thing, no, begin to pray and pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit about that situation. Day and night, you may be driving, you begin to pray in the Spirit. You may be wherever you are, begin to pray in the Spirit concerning that situation. And God is faithful. Praise the Lord. So Holy Spirit is so, so powerful, the gift of God in our lives. And I believe that one of the purposes of the Holy Spirit baptism in us, you know, so I will be so overwhelmed with his presence in our lives that we no longer dwell on our weaknesses. We'll be so overwhelmed that we'll no longer dwell on our inadequacies. Instead, we'll be filled with assurance. We'll be filled with boldness because we know that we're praying the mind of God and God is doing something concerning that situation. You know, two people can face a situation. I was reading about America's 15th president and the 16th president. Praise the Lord. The 16th president was Lincoln, right? The 15th one, I forgot his name. But why did I forget the name? We all know about Lincoln. If I say, how many of you know about the 15th president? What's the name? America's 15th president. How many we know? Nobody knows, right? Okay, what is it? Who is he? Tell me, the 15th president. Abraham Lincoln. That's it. He gave me the name of the 16th president. We all know about Abraham Lincoln, right? How many of us know the name of the 15th president? Nobody knows. I think it's I can't even pronounce the name. Is it Bukana or Buka? I don't even know the name. Praise the Lord. You didn't know. I just gave you a little expo. That's why. Praise the Lord. But guess what happened? This shows how two Christians navigate their Christian life. One is walking by the power of the Holy Spirit. One is devoid of it. Praise the Lord. By the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you are empowered. One is devoid. Why do we know about Lincoln? We heard about him. We know his name. But we didn't know the name of the 15th president. Nope. I mean, Americans, only about 10% we know the name. But if you say the 16th, everybody knows Abraham Lincoln. Praise the Lord. Because one possessed something that the other didn't have. I was reading about Abraham Lincoln. I'm like, whoa. He started as an atheist. You know that? As an atheist. But along the way, in his death, as I was reading so many things, this man turned and said the Bible that he said, he denied, or the way he thought about the Bible. Now, he was embracing the Bible, embracing the word of God, doing everything. God is God. God Almighty, giving him thanks. Let me read what his wife said about him. Lincoln, increasing religious views during this time. Lincoln's widow, Mary Todd Lincoln, said, a man, speaking about the husband, a man who never took the name of the Maker in vain, who always raised his Bible diligently, who never failed to rely on God's promises and looked upon him for protection. Surely such a man as this could never have been a disbeliever or any other than what he was, a true Christian gentleman. From the time of the death of our little Edward, I believe my husband's heart was directed towards religion. And as time passed on, when Mr. Lincoln became elevated to the office, then, indeed, to my knowledge, did his great heart go up daily, hourly in prayer to God for his sustaining power. When, too, the overwhelming sorrow came upon our beautiful, bright, angelic boy, Willie was called away from us to this heavenly home with God's chest, and the rest of them. He said as an atheist. Now you know the secrets of his success. Praise the Lord. The word of God. The word of God. So we know about him because there was something in him. He possessed something that the 15th president didn't possess. Praise the Lord. So we have the Holy Spirit baptism I want you, I challenge you going forward. Don't live your life as if you do not have the Holy Spirit residing on the inside of you. I'm done with the Holy Spirit baptism. I'm not going back to talking about the Holy Spirit that is indwelling you when you gave your life to Christ. Before ever we start talking about the Holy Spirit baptism, I'm done with that. Abraham Lincoln succeeded. Why? Because he had something. He had God. He had the Holy Spirit. The power of God was working for him. Today, I want to ask you, are you devoid of that power? The Holy Spirit that is presiding on the inside of you. Do you know the person of this Holy Spirit? Praise the Lord. You need to get into the Word of God, because God cannot do anything without His Spirit. And the Spirit of God cannot walk without the Word of God. Praise the Lord. The Word of God is what? He is His shield. What is it? The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. So you need to get into the Word of God. You need to study the Word of God. You need to know the power of the Holy Spirit. You need to know the power of the Word of God and the person of the Holy Spirit. You need to begin to press in to enjoy all the benefits that you have as a child of God. You need to live every moment of your life. Every moment, every day you wake up, till you go to bed, moment by moment, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we stop here for today. I'll continue next week. Amen.